The Scammy Street podcast is intended for an adult listener audience. Our podcast contains stories and language that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Scare Me Straight podcast. I am your host, Nicole.
I'm Alexa.
And I'm Jonathan.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Good, really good. I'm excited for your episode, Nicole.
Are you excited? John, are you excited?
I'm good. I ain't got no headaches. Miss Peggy did not visit me, so I'm here for the new content.
I don't think I mentioned another day.
I do get to live another day, though I insulted her quite a bit, so...
Well, apparently it was in the video because that bitch gave me a mega headache the next day. So
Maybe it was
all in the video. You avoided it well.
So on today's episode, we are going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. I am a little bit of a history nerd. So I want to talk about the curse of the pharaohs, more specifically, the curse of King Tutankhamun. Tutankhamun.
Ooh, what a mouthful.
Yes.
I'm already impressed. We can stop there.
Okay. So our journey begins. Well, technically it begins 3,000 years ago, but we're not going to deep dive into the life of King Tut too much. But I do want to start with in 1922, led by British archaeologist and Egyptologist Howard Carter, he discovered the tomb of King Tut. And the significance about him finding this tomb was that it was the first virtually intact tomb that we've ever found. Normally, when tombs are discovered, they're already looted, raided, and most of the time, it's raided by the people who built them.
Oh, what? Go figure.
Yeah. So they know all the booby traps. They know where the fake doors are. So they're usually the ones that are going in and stealing the shit.
That's an interesting fact. I didn't know that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, it makes sense, though.
Yeah, I would dig out the tomb. Somebody dies. Rich person dies, gets in it, and then I would take all that gold.
Mm-hmm. So his tomb was filled with treasures, cherished jewelry, coffin containing his mummy, all kinds of things. So a little bit about King Tut. He was known as the Boy King. He ruled ancient Egypt during the 18th dynasty, ascended the throne at 8 or 9 years old, and he reigned for about 9 years, dying at the age of 19.
Look, y'all, I just want to say that's really impressive because the 8 and 9 year olds at my school cannot handle that shit.
Can you imagine them ruining an entire civilization?
They can't even tie their shoes without having a panic attack. No, I can't. Honestly, it makes my brain hurt thinking about. So,
yeah, I'm sure he had like advisors that were
like 40 year old men being like, yeah, just say this.
Mm-hmm. And probably strappy sandals. So like, He might be okay with that.
He didn't have to die. They were advanced and I didn't even know it.
So his father, Akhenaten, was actually known as a little bit of like a heretic king. So he did spend his time returning back to the old order of things, renouncing the god Aten, which is what his father changed the religion to. So they changed it back from Aten to Amun and returning to the polytheistic religion. So back to believing in multiple gods.
So he's the one that made them swap back to believing in multiple gods.
Mm-hmm. So there were 5,398 items found inside of his tomb.
Damn, girl.
It was piled to the roof. Again, his tombs were a bit on the smaller side because he did die so young. Either they didn't finish his tomb or they put him in somebody else's tomb, but it was just packed to the roof. Hmm. And I want to talk about two things that were found inside of his tomb. One John's gonna love. He had a dagger made from iron meteorite. So he had a dagger that was made out of a meteorite. And I love that. Like,
spicy.
My question is, did somebody give that to him or did the meteorite come down, crash? And he was like, somebody make me a dagger out of that.
Like, was that passed down to him at some point? Maybe
was it gifted to him by some visitors?
Oh, visitor.
Bum, bum, bum.
What is she alluding to?
That the aliens.
The Anunnaki.
Mm? They could have, who knows? So the second item I want to talk about was a set of trumpets. One of them was made of sterling silver, the other made of bronze, and these are considered the oldest operational trumpets in the world and the only known surviving examples from ancient Egypt.
So Tut was a band nerd?
No.
Like
Tut.
He was not in the band.
He was out here playing trumpets.
So this isn't like when we say Trump, you'll see when we when I show you the photos.
We have pictures too.
I do have pictures. The bronze trumpet was found in an antechamber with his walking stick and military objects. So maybe this was some kind of military trumpet used to call people to war, call his troops out. The silver trumpet was found in his actual burial chamber. The first time played in over 3,000 years was in the spring of 1939 for 150 million listeners. In September of 1939, Germany invaded Poland under Hitler's command, starting World War II.
I just want to say, I would not put my mouth on that shit.
Who knows what kind of, I mean, like, just for, like, sanitary purposes, who knows what's
living on it. I mean, I'm sure they cleaned it, but still.
Like, on the trumpet?
Yeah.
Oh, so do you think people are playing that?
Well, someone did.
Someone did. We know for sure. And it was recorded. The silver trumpet shattered like glass when a performer tried to put a modern mouthpiece on it, which is interesting because it is made of silver, but I'm sure it's like 3,000 years old.
Right. There's got to be some sort of decomposition with the material. Mm-hmm.
Even still kind of freaky at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So allegedly the trumpets were played again. It was played in 1967 before a conflict between Egypt and Israel known as the Six-Day War. In 1990, it was played before the start of the Gulf War. And most recently, it was played in 2011 with the Egyptian Revolution starting a week later.
I think we should like stop playing the trumpet. I think.
Who is holding on to the trumpet, though? Like,
who keeps playing it?
Yeah, well, that's what I want to know.
It was said, at least for the most recent time in 2011, that it was a student studying it. He played it. Mm-hmm. So actually, during the revolution, there was looting and the bronze trumpet was stolen, but then it mysteriously turned up on the Cairo metro in a bag a week later, along with like other artifacts. So do these trumpets have mystical powers? Are every time we're playing this trumpet, is a war breaking out? Are these trumpets cursed?
I mean, what do you guys think? It is oddly in the right time frame. Like, as soon as they play one of these trumpets, something bad happens. Now, how long, you said, give me like a rough estimate of how long after someone plays trumpet that like, something bad happens. Would you say like within a week or?
Some were within a week, some were within a couple of months, but definitely very close to after every time.
Close enough to be concerning.
Close enough that there is definitely a coincidence. Should we play it again just to test things out?
Yeah, do we have a sound?
I was going to say, do we have the recording?
So actually, I do have a recording of what it sounds like. And I'm
going to
play that for you guys.
Watch Nicole play this horn sound and then like the World War III breaks out like tonight.
Oh my God.
Okay. I don't know if it works like that. So I'm going to play for you guys the recording, the one from 1939.
And now the two trumpets will be blown by bandsman James Tapper, who is here by permission of the colonel and officers of the 11th Prince Albert's Own Hussars.
I don't like it already.
I must explain that neither trumpet is easy to sound, and this is particularly true of the copper instrument. The silver one will be heard.
The trumpets of the pharaoh Tutankhamun, lord of the crowns, king of the south and north, son of brave.
What?
Thank you.
I'm sorry. It's like a 3-minute video clip. It's already like it creeps me out.
She was going in on that horn, bitch. She said, I'm gonna give y'all a show.
I am gonna play this.
I don't know what it is, but the sound definitely like freaks me out.
No, girl, it's a no for me, dog. I'm passing on that one. Never again, please.
That was just as bad as watching Peggy. No.
Look, if I was any form of King Tut, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing with my horn?
Yeah, I would unleash diseases too.
Like, yeah, it's not even meant to be played.
Touching my shit. Why are we touching anyone's shit?
Girl, white people just out here.
Colonizing.
Grabbing, colonizing, and blowing in horns. They should not be blowing in. Now, Nicole, do we know if that was the silver horn or the bronze horn?
I'm not sure. I am not 100% sure if the silver horn broke before or after this.
Mm. Okay.
So it could be either one.
So what happened after this time that he played the instrument?
World War II broke out.
That was when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like war horns right there. It does sound like a
horn that you would use to call troops to battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So Egyptian curses were a practice amongst pharaohs, but it most frequently occurred in private tombs in the Old Kingdom era. So they weren't as common when King Tut was ruling. And I actually do want to read you some inscriptions that were found on older tombs, just because, I mean, put this on my gravestone. As for all men who shall enter this my tomb impure, there will be judgment, an end shall be made for him. I shall seize his neck like a bird. Oh. I shall cast the fear of myself onto him.
I mean, that's what I said with my last relationship, but... Just kidding.
And there was one curse that they did find after the Old Kingdom era. And again, this was not on King Tut's. He actually did not have any curses. There was one allegedly found on a medallion, but I could not fact check that. So I'm not going to include it because I don't think it actually existed. So to my knowledge, there were no inscriptions of any kind of curse on King Tut's tomb anywhere.
So that inscription that you just read is a curse?
From the Old Kingdom, yes. And I actually have one from the New Kingdom. And it's very interesting because I felt like it applied to what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So it says, "Cursed be those who disturb the rest of a pharaoh. They that shall break the seal of this tomb shall meet a death by a disease that no doctor can diagnose." And I find that very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not on King Tut's. It's just a curse on somebody else's.
Do you think it was just passed down from generation to generation, like the idea of you fuck with our tomb, like this is going to happen to you?
So I feel like they never really thought people were really going to fuck with their tombs, but it just was kind of a practice, especially in private tombs. But they did have things to protect their tombs. Like King Tut had a really cool statue of Anubis, which is the god of the dead, the jackal looking dog. But again, no curses.
Okay.
I wonder why he didn't.
So even though people were experiencing weird things associated with his tomb, he himself, for as far as we know, never made a curse on his own.
Did not have any kind of inscription.
Hmm.
But who say that inscription needs to be there? I just think it's still bad practice to fuck with somebody's tomb.
Yeah, it's probably like written in the sand, you know?
Yeah, maybe it could very much have been written in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe back then they just assumed that if you mess with somebody, that something bad could potentially happen to you. Like they could have just word of mouth. And
so, yeah, like it was implied.
We
don't need to write the curse, but it's implied.
Yeah. And like burial rites and like burial just practices like trace back like hundreds of thousands of years. Like that's something that was really like pertinent when humans started evolving and starting to become like our ancestors that we associate with now. So I can only imagine that that has been passed on through many different cultures. And then just the idea of not messing with somebody's grave, like that's huge. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm sure they were like throwing curses all day long, but didn't write one on.
I mean, even not that long ago, I mean, we still have grave robbers to this day. So mm-hmm. even not that long ago mm-hmm. was like a huge issue, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine what it would have been like back then.
Especially those being buried with such treasure. Because remember, mm-hmm. these Egyptians believed that whatever you brought with you into the afterlife is what you would use
right.
in the afterlife.
And I even feel uncomfortable like walking in a graveyard, walking over somebody's grave, like mm-hmm. touching a mm-hmm. section that is somebody's grave. Like that feels very uncomfortable. Maybe that's like a cultural thing that we mm-hmm. have, but or personal thing that I have. But like, I'm sure lots of people feel like that. Like,
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Like I'm okay with it. Like I'll go and like rub graves all day long, but I would never take something from someone mm. in like there, because that's their possession, you know.
Okay, but I don't think mind of the riches that were inside of these yeah. tombs. I feel like that might have overpowered their feeling of messing with the dead.
I do understand that, and it's an easy way to make money.
So there was allegedly 23 victims of this curse. Now
King Tut's.
Out of King Tut's curse. Out of all 23, do I think some of their deaths were just random and happenstance? Yes. But some of them, I don't know. They're kind of, I'm going to talk about a couple that felt like, okay, actually something could maybe be there. So yes. The tomb was discovered on November 4th, 1922 by a water boy who noticed stone steps leading into the sand. This is when Howard Carter sends a telegram to George Hubert V, Earl of Carnarvon, and he was the financial backer of the excavation and was actually considering pulling his funds because of how little that they had found. Mm-hmm. So Lord Carnarvon and his daughter, Lady Evelyn Hubert, arrive at Luxor on November 23rd. On November 26th, he was also present when Carter made a tiny breach into the doorway when they were able to peek inside. So the tomb was then secured and scheduled for the next day to be opened in the presence of an official from the Egyptian Department of Antiquities. But that night, Carter, Lord Carnarvon, his daughter, and Carter's assistant, Arthur Callender, they made a secret visit, becoming the first people in modern time to actually go into the tomb.
Oh,
so they did a little sneaky sneak.
I thought you were going to say they all died like that night. I'd be like, oh, shit.
I was ready for it.
If that was the case, I'd be like, wow. Okay.
But so they were the official ones to first go in the tomb.
I have a quick question, Nicole. Mm-hmm. So his tomb didn't have any written curses on anything.
No.
Okay. But we do believe, some people believe that this is a cursed tomb.
Yes.
Okay.
Some people believe that just any kind of pharaoh is going to have a curse. That like there is the curse of the pharaohs, meaning like anyone who wants to mess with a tomb of a king is going to be cursed.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Carnarvon was present during the opening of the burial chamber, which didn't happen until February 16th. So again, they were at this point just in the antechamber where all of this stuff was found. Now we're in his actual burial chamber. And that's when exclusive newspaper rights were sold to the Times. And this pissed off journalist and Egyptologist Arthur Weigel, who worked with the Daily Times. Weigel, who was also in attendance, saw Lord Carnarvon joking around as he went inside the tomb. And said, if he goes down in that spirit, I give him 6 weeks to live.
Oh.
Damn, girl.
On March 19th in 1923, Lord Carnarvon got mosquito bite that had become infected after a razor cut. On April 5th, roughly 6 weeks after he went into that tomb, he died from blood poisoning that progressed to pneumonia.
Wow. Talk about a freak accident, though.
One of the most famous spiritualists at the time, which spiritualism was like all the rage in the 1920s. They were performing seances. Mm-hmm. Like that was like the cool, fun, hip thing to do.
I mean, same.
So one of the most famous spiritualists was author Conan Doyle, who was the creator of Sherlock Holmes. Cool. He attributed the death of Lord Carnarvon to what he called the elementals. So they are a supernatural force that was controlled by the priest who were in charge of protecting the pharaoh. So when the tomb was invaded, they unleashed the elementals, causing havoc on those responsible. That's what he is claiming happened.
Okay, so he's saying that some kind of a priest has elementals that because they cracked into the tomb, the elementals attacked the guy.
And the elementals are continuously in this tomb for anybody that comes in.
I think that elementals are just like a general spiritual thing that can be controlled.
Hmm. Blame it on the witches.
By these priests. They're priests, not witches.
Okay.
I mean, but also like, I would say it's a different kind of priest than like when we think of priests.
Yeah.
So now we're going to move on to our second victim of the alleged curse, which was George J. Gould. He was a wealthy American who was visiting Egypt and was allowed to explore the tomb in 1923, which this is what rich people were doing. Like they were all just like, oh, okay, cool. If you got money, you can go. On May 16th, 1923, George J. Gould died of pneumonia after contracting a fever. So again, this was just a couple of weeks after Lord Carnarvon.
From going inside of the tomb.
Okay. After going inside of the tomb. An article published in the Daily Mail on July 2nd, 1923, described Philip Livingston Poe, kinsman to Edgar Allan Poe, came down with a sickness similar to that which caused the death of Lord Carnarvon after a recent visit to the tomb. Diagnosed with septic pneumonia and streptococcus poisoning.
And I looked up streptococcus and it's just like strep throat. It's the bacteria that causes that amongst other things. Mm. So.
But I don't know how regularly people were catching pneumonia. But it is interesting that three within so little time of each other did all have the same affliction. So after him, Sir Archibald Douglas Reed, a radiologist who x-rayed the mummy, died 3 days after in January 15th, 1924.
What did he die from?
Mysterious illness.
Mm. They could even give him
and
like
I actually
a label.
Want to mention the way Howard Carter mutilated King Tut's mummy, trying to get it out of his sarcophagus. It's kind of fucked up. So he was essentially kind of stuck. And he took a chisel and a hammer and dismembered him to pull him out piece by piece and then like glued him back together.
Oh my gosh.
So I'd be pissed too.
Yeah.
Chopping me up with a chisel and hammer.
Literally cut off his arms, his leg, and his head and like pulled him out piece by piece and then hot glued him back together. I don't think he was talking about but
those elementals in that tomb.
Him back together.
Oh yeah. They were looking at him like,
they're like, we're going to get you.
So we have a couple more victims. Mm-hmm. Hugh Evelyn White, British archaeologist who may have helped excavate the site, died by suicide, leaving a note saying, "I have succumbed to a curse" in 1924.
Mm-hmm. Died by
suicide. So maybe he was just a little paranoid about what was going on and he didn't want to be next.
Yeah, he could have been.
Mm-hmm. Even though technically he was next.
Oof. Yeah. By his own hand. Arthur Mace was part of Carter's excavation team and specialized in the preservation of ancient artifacts. So he left in the spring of 1924. He suffered pleurisy that led to pneumonia. In 1928, he died with mentions of suspected arsenic poisoning.
Arsenic.
Okay. So he thinks somebody was poisoning him. And I want you guys to remember this information that I'm giving to you.
So again, though, 1920s got pneumonia.
He did. Mm-hmm. No, yes, he did. He got pneumonia and then mm-hmm. So everybody getting pneumonia. And I want to do two honorable mentions.
Yay.
These two actually were never inside of King Tut's tomb, but they still fucked around and found out. So Bruce Ingham, who was not present at the tomb, but did receive a gift from the tomb by Howard Carter. What was the gift? It was a paperweight, which consisted of a mummified hand wearing a scarab bracelet inscribed, "Cursed be he who moves my body. To him shall come fire, water, and pestilence."
Guys.
Shortly after he got this gift, his house burned down. And when he went to rebuild, it was hit by a flood.
I think that's better than an honorable mention.
But he was gifted this, right?
He was gifted this.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, well, bitches.
So was it his fault? I mean, I would not accept the gift. If somebody opened a box and there was a mummified hand, I would be like, put it back.
With that written on it?
With a scarab, whatever.
Well, I don't know if Bruce Ingham could read hieroglyphics.
Okay.
So maybe he didn't know. I don't know.
Maybe we don't like fuck with the hieroglyphics.
I just
don't
think we fuck with mummified hands.
No, absolutely not.
And we put
that one's pretty. out of all of them so far, that feels like the most shocking out of all of the deaths, or not deaths, I shouldn't say that, but like the bad events that followed.
Yeah,
but definitely, but also,
bad things happened to him.
Who thought it was a good idea to send somebody a dead
Howard
hand?
Howard Carter!
No, girl!
The same guy who found King Tut's tomb and cut up his little body.
So he's like, this would make a really cute gift. Like,
I'm just gonna pair this with some wine
to other people.
Yeah, like someone's foot.
Yeah, who else did he send body parts?
I just wanted to clarify, it was not King Tut's hand. It was just a mummified hand.
Probably like,
and allegedly it came from his tomb, but again.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all, I am not an archaeologist. I dropped out of college. So if anything I said is wrong, this is what the internet told me. And I tried to do my best to fact check.
So if that wasn't King Tut's hand,
No, it was for sure not his hand.
Do you think there were other people in his, like, encapsulated in his tomb when he died?
It could have been like a mummified hand that he had with the bracelet from like before he died, and like they put it in with him. I don't know.
So King Tut was walking around with a mummified hand.
Who knows? Maybe, like, it was the hand of his enemy.
He had the mummified hand in his hand.
I feel like back then they were way more respectful over dead body parts.
Maybe it didn't come from King Tut's tomb, but he did receive like a mummified hand with that inscripted bracelet.
Maybe it was his best friend.
Either way, return to sender.
They were
guys.
Roommates.
If I die, and will you guys be mummified with me?
No, girl.
No,
why not?
Be turned
into a tree. Why not?
I also would like to be turned into a tree.
Oh my god! Wait, can like somebody start a little garden with us?
Yeah. Oh, like the pod things. I want.
I want to be a pod or like turned into like compost dirt.
So Nicole and I want to become part of the earth, and Lexi wants to be mummified and potentially curse people.
You can mummify me.
Okay, girl. I'll get right on that.
We could get the really cute chunky bracelet and put emojis on it, and then curse it.
3,000 years from now,
they're like,
what anybody. The emojis are hieroglyphics.
What is this little hand that looks like it's being painted?
Oh, look at the middle finger like emoji. Oh no, it's gonna be the
penis.
Oh, the eggplant.
One. The eggplant.
Oh, eggplant and a peach.
The purple one.
The purple one. It's right, honorable mention number two.
Okay.
Aaron Ember. Again, he was also not at the tomb, but friends with many of the people there that died while his house burnt down. So he could have made it out alive. But he died while trying to save a manuscript that he was working on, and it was entitled The Egyptian Book of the Dead.
Oh.
So who knows what he was fucking around with.
This is just as bad as like when you watch a horror movie and they read the line. You know, it's the same. Same shit.
You never read the line, guys.
You don't read the hieroglyphics. Same thing.
Mm-mm.
So what was causing all these deaths, especially with so many similar outcomes?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a curse? Well, that's what the people thought. Oh my God, the people in the 1920s, they were eating that shit up.
I bet.
So like if you so much as like happened to be in Egypt at the time and then die, they're like, curse. Mm-mm, you were cursed. We can contribute our findings to what happened in the 70s, where another maybe little curse happened, but not really. So during the 1970s in Krakow, Poland, 10 archaeologists and scientists began to die. It was revealed that they all visit the Wawel Cathedral, where the tomb of Kazimierz IV Jagiellon was located. So the cathedral was in need of repair, but in doing so, they had to move the tomb of King Kazimierz and open the coffin. So they kind of, they weren't like fucking around, but they did need to move it to repair the cathedral.
Mm.
The archaeologist mentioned the air had a thick stench of decay. After the reservations, the king was returned to his tomb, and that's when, afterward, the team involved became ill and all prematurely died. It was things like bleeding disorder, aneurysms, cerebral hemorrhaging, but luckily, the scientists did take specimens and samples from the tomb, and at first, nothing was found, but then they applied heat to the samples, and it awoke a fungus that had been dormant for centuries. Aspergillus flavus. It's a potential deadly toxin that can attack weakened lungs and cause organ failure and strokes.
Whoa.
Possibly pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, okay, wait. Pause really quick if we can. So they found this bacteria. Was it a fungus or bacteria?
It was a fungus.
So they found this fungus in this king's tomb?
King Casimir.
Okay.
Which he was king in the 1400s. So again, not as old as King Tut. Mm-hmm. Mm. But what we did find out is that Aspergillus is known to grow on grain and on dead people. King Tut had a shit ton of bread and grain inside of his tomb because, again,
oh, shit.
What you take with you when you die is what you have in the afterlife. So he had a shit ton of food in there, especially bread.
Do you think they knew this?
He didn't even intend on that. I wonder.
In the 1920s, absolutely not.
No, but do you think King, like the Egyptians?
Do you think he knew that when he died, he was going to have Aspergillus flavus? I don't think so.
No, release mayhem.
But like, was that like? Did they associate all those things that happened with that kind of fungus to a curse? And they just didn't know that, like, when you put some wheat and you have a dead body, then you get the fungus. They were thinking.
I don't think they knew. I don't think anyone knew that that was going to happen.
Until
they discovered it.
But go figure that that's grown on wheat and rice, different things like that.
Kind of like organic material it can grow on, especially like dead bodies, but mostly
wheat. Yeah.
But shouldn't it be assumed that, like, if there's a dead body and it's being mummified, that there is going to be something that grows on it? Like, I would never touch a dead body because there's probably shit on that.
Well, actually, Howard Carter, to dispel the rumors of the curse, because he was mad. He was mad that people were saying that it was a curse. He felt like it was like kind of impeding on his research. So he did have scientists come. But again, in the 1920s, what kind of technology did they have?
Right.
So nothing came out of it at that time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even in the 20s, like our medicine, everything was not nearly as advanced as it was
100 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, ew. Don't say it like that.
Ew. Yeah. Well.
So that wasn't the only potentially deadly toxin that was found in these tombs. So there's silicone dioxide that's found in the dust and sand in the in Egypt, and especially in the tombs, that if you're in this enclosed space that you're breathing in can cause silicosis.
Oh, long-term lung disease.
We have one more potentially deadly item. It was a pigment called orpiment. Back in the day, they did not have paint, so they were using natural materials. And orpiment caused this like golden yellow color that you're seeing on Egyptian paintings at the time, and was used on the treasures that were found in Tut's tomb. So recent research shows that that pigment contains large quantities of arsenic.
Whoa, arsenic.
Arsenic. Huh. So Arthur Mace, the one who said that he thought he was being poisoned by arsenic, remember, he was in charge of cataloging these antiquities, and he was known to fucking lick shit, because in his notes he would say, oh, this item tasted salty.
Oh no, home dude, no.
So he's baby not girl. Here.
Why are you licking the things? Shit?
What the fuck, bro? Why are you licking 3,000-year-old artifacts?
Oh, can you imagine all the things that he licked? Oh.
So that could have sped up his death.
This bitch is out here licking 1,000-year-old objects. I
you
can't.
You pope licker.
Again, could these items... or could all these deaths be attributed to a curse? Who knows?
I mean, at the same time, for all of these things to align so well.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's we found kind of the freak. Cause. But
yeah, at the same time, this man is just like randomly licking shit to like be to hurt himself, you know, in that way.
Well, I don't think he knew. He was just licking things to try to get a sense of like, what materials what things were made of.
But again, it's just it feels random to me.
And then that also makes me wonder who else licked things in this tomb? Are you all like
that
touching?
Was a thing that they all did back in the day.
Yeah. But were they touching and then licking them, their fingers?
Like, and rubbing your eyes. That's it's true. Dusty. It's dirty. Exactly. Like
touching
who knows
things
what they were doing.
Your hands.
Exactly. Yeah. So is that like the big question? Do we think it's a curse or not?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I did the research. I thought, yeah, no, absolutely, it was a curse. But then when I started looking into this, I was like, no, y'all are just
stupid.
Yeah. And at a time when they probably didn't know, if I go in this tomb and I touch this thing and I move that body around, I'm touching potential fungi,
right?
Other things that are living in
crusty, dusty, crusty-ass
sand. Like,
well, nowadays, yeah, it makes sense. Wouldn't we go in with, you know, like masks, different things like protective that
type of gear?
Yeah. We know better, obviously, now. So in the 20s, full on.
Yeah.
But I still do think that curses can exist. I mean, like, didn't they just recently find Cleopatra's tomb? Guys, can we stop opening coffins? They're going to cause some kind of zombie outbreak. Some kind of disease is going to be put into the air. I don't want to survive a zombie apocalypse.
No,
the last one was like, what, some kind of fungi, you said?
Aspergillus flavus. Yes, it was a dormant fungi that they heated just
released into the air.
And I know people are excavating all kinds of things right now. They're opening up all kinds of holes, all kinds of tombs. Just maybe, you know, let it be.
I don't know if they're going to like release an ancient disease, but I am scared that a curse is going to happen. And next thing you know,
just live in the now.
You know what's interesting though? You know how like there's a whole thought process on like you create the world and your trajectory based on your thoughts. Mm-hmm. People are thinking there is a curse, and then they think, oh, I'm in this tomb. Am I cursed?
I was thinking like, the same thing.
Not that it's increasing it, but I think there's a possibility that like your thoughts are now contributing to this flabagellum, gugellum. What's the fungi?
Aspergillus flavus.
Boom. They're like, my thoughts are now like incubating this fungi to like be even crazier. So like, maybe that's a part of it.
Nicole, have there been people that go into these tombs that just come out perfectly fine?
Mm. Yeah. Howard Carter didn't die until like way, way after. And he was like the initial.
So they're all licking shit in that tomb. I know it. I know it.
In the tomb.
I wish King Tut Tut had like a little video camera over. Like, I'm sure one of them went up to the tomb and licked it. Like, who knows? I might lick it.
No, why would you lick the tomb? I would lick it because it's old.
He's probably like watching everyone from the dead being like, look at these bitches licking my
shit.
Come on, guys.
Being absolutely disrespected.
Licking it.
This one's chewing on my fingernail. Oh my God.
So yeah, to all the archaeologists out there, please stop opening coffins. Because I do think curses are real, and y'all gonna open the wrong one. And then the next thing you know, I have to be foraging, fighting people for blueberries, wearing the same crusty underwear, or worse, you live in like one of these quarantine towns, and then I have to do manual labor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like burn bodies or something.
Absolutely not. No, that's not for me. I do promise you that the whiff of a zombie apocalypse, I will be chewing on a cyanide capsule.
Same. Yeah. Take me out. I don't want to deal with it. But I'm not trying to run away from people that are zombies and shit.
Like, I have to run from zombies, run from like people who want to like steal my stuff. Mm-hmm. This fight at a blueberry bush.
I'm going to see how far I can get.
Work 16 hours a day to get like half a can of baked beans. No, could never be me. I will live in a post-apocalyptic world.
So if we want to find Nicole in post-apocalyptic worlds, she buy the blueberry bush. Mm-hmm. Like, she out there getting those berries. No. Mm-mm.
Foraging for things? No. Mm-mm.
No, take me out ahead of time.
I will not be there.
So So is it a curse or is it just science? Well,
it is interesting. I do want to go back to that one inscription where he said that he will cause a disease that no doctor can diagnose. It is interesting that maybe this Aspergillus flavus is not something they would have diagnosed at the time.
Yeah.
But not until 100 years later.
Mm-hmm. And who's to say like the Egyptians didn't know that, like obviously science then was very different, of course. But like, how do we know that they didn't have an idea that this fungi in particular makes people sick? Like, I'm curious to know, like, if maybe they knew that.
Aliens told them. The Greys.
Yep. The Greys, the reptilians, the Anunnaki.
They do say there's like something underneath the Sphinx. Like,
yep. They were the catalyst. moved us into a different age.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. That's all we have on The Curse of King Tut. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know, do you believe in curses? Do you think this is all just scientific and everything has a scientific explanation? If you'd like to continue the discussion, follow us on our Instagram and other socials at Scare Me Straight and share your thoughts and theories. If you enjoyed this episode, please share to rate, subscribe, and follow us on most podcast platforms. Stay spooky, bitches.
Bye, bitches.
Bye.